Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. I'm Carly Duke, and I am back with Tobin and Caleb. And we have another exciting episode for you today. But before we get into our like content and our good stuff, I do want to mention at the top of the episode, so I don't forget, that we have a merch store that is open until May 24th. So I will drop that link in the description on our website. You can find it on our social media pages, but that'll be open for the next few weeks. So if you want Teen Life merch, we've got hats. I think there's a polo in there, some different shirts. Go check those out. But today...
Well, hold on a second, Carly. Hold on. Shout out to Carly, because Carly designs all this stuff herself. And it's really cool. So like, if you really like the designs, give Carly a shout out. She doesn't ever give herself props for the amazing stuff that she creates. Like even like this one that I have on right now. So yeah, Carly, shout out Carly. Graphic design is her passion.
Go Carly.
So.
Yeah. My passion. Thank you, Tobin. Thank you. Amateur t-shirt designer. Yeah. But you should check them out because they're fun. Yeah. But today we're going to hit some rapid fire trends with Tobin. We're also going to talk about senior attitudes for our graduating seniors and maybe some changes that you might be noticing this time of year. And then it's also Mental Health Awareness Month. And so we are going to hit a couple of things about that. And I also have a fun download coloring page PDF to tell you about.
Well, I would like to start with Tobin's trends and some things that I super don't understand. Because I think I've, like, usually with these trends, like, if Caleb brings something to the table, I'm like, oh, yeah, here's my age. Like, I'm definitely older than Caleb and stuff. So, full disclosure, Carly put this one on our list because she had seen this. Thankfully, that my algorithms have not shown this to me. So, I did a little incognito research because I was like, I really don't need my you know, browsers thinking I'm looking this stuff up. I don't know if you've heard of this. If you're a parent of a teenager or if you're a teen listening, there's a trend going around called bra strap bracelets, which is basically exactly what you think it is. It's girls taking off, like cutting off their bra straps and then putting like, you know, jewelry and beads and sewing it into like a one size fits all bracelet. Like it can, you know, be on anybody. Now I read that of like, oh, so they're just taking their bras and they're making themselves jewelry. And then Carly pointed out to me, no, they're doing this to give it to their significant others, which is a whole lot more weird and concerning. So, yeah, I mean, like I'm all for a trendy, like cool little, like Pinteresty, you know, piece
DIY.
Of jewelry, but yeah, do you like whatever? Like, if you want to repurpose or like if it's cool, like I don't care about that. The part that got me was the, oh, this is how I'm going to mark my territory on the, you know, my significant, like my partner, my significant other. I think the version of that when I was in high school was it might be dumber. It was giving your high school class ring to your girlfriend or significant other. Like, I remember the first time I did that, my mom was like, absolutely not. Like, we paid for that and that's very expensive. So, like, but yeah,
more cost effective.
Yeah, that's true. It is more cost effective. I don't know how much bras go for, but they can't be Balfour graduation ring level. Right. So
absolutely not. But boys, if you're listening, I just girls don't wash their bras enough. Like, don't put that on your wrist. It's so
guys,
gross.
You can say no. You can say no to this. You can be like, no, like, I'm not going to wear that. But like too, it's like,
thank you for the thought. But no,
it has to be like only for the other girls to see. Because I mean, I don't think most guys are going to connect, whoa, that's a bra strap on that dude's wrist, unless they're like aware of this thing. Because I mean, like, sure. It's probably just for the other girls to see, oh, this guy's taken.
Do you write your name on it? Like, if you're the girl, do you put your name on it? Like, so it's like an even further mark of your territory? I don't know. Like, that's...
Sure.
Anyway, weird trend. I don't understand. Like, as I get older, I think there's a lot more of these. But if you have a student, you know, a teenage son or whatever, and that student comes home and they have a bra strip on their wrist, might want to ask them a question about it. Just kind of say, like, hey, who'd you get that from? Because it could be a clear sign of, oh, they have somebody, or like, hey, maybe we need to set some better boundaries or something. So, the other thing, it's very different, but one of the trends that's popping up lately is called the Kaizen Challenge. So, if you haven't heard about this, I'm pulling up my notes for it. It is developed from a Japanese term, which means good change or change for the better or improvement. And so, as a philosophy, Kaizen promotes a mindset where small incremental changes create an impact over time. So I saw a TikTok about this basically that was for 11 days, do these six things. And it was do something to improve yourself spiritually. So like 30 minutes of meditation or maybe doing some self-help or some worship or some sort. It was doing 20 minutes of mental self-improvement. So that it could have been something that you enjoy. I think they mentioned 20 minutes of like reading a book or something like that. And then also doing a something during the day where you improve your physical self. So like a workout or some cardio or maybe a walk, something like that. Those are pretty standard, normal things. And then it says every day to make a checklist or a to-do list of six achievable tasks. Hmm. So like you can't put something on the checklist that's going to be, you know, a week-long project. It's like it's for whatever that day. So if it is like go to the store or whatever it might be, to put it on a checklist, that way you can check it off at some point during the day. And on that same paper, you're also going to write two things that you're grateful for. And then either at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, you're going to spend 15 minutes reflecting on your goals. So I actually this year started doing a gratitude journal where every day I kind of sit down. So it's a little bit continuation of that. I've also heard, like we talked about before we started recording, that 75 hard kind of does a very much more intense version of this, of like you have two long workouts in the day, and then you also spend, you read 10 pages of a book and eat healthy, that kind of stuff. So what do y'all think about the Kaizen challenge? Like, is this something that, like, you know, would speak to you, or like what are y'all thoughts on it?
Yeah, it scared me when I first, because I'm like, what is this? Like, what is Kaizen? Like, is it, sounds like a what's P90X, like some sort of like mega let's project the Kaizen challenge. But no, it's for me, like, I'm looking at this list, I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's some good stuff. Like, I feel like even to have achievable goals that you can then look back on and say, okay, I did that. Cause I mean, that's such a hard thing. Like, even if you're talking mental health, depression, a lot of it is just feeling like you can't get anything done. Like, even if you look, and I, you know, I think there's a balance there of like, even if you don't have all of the checklist done and you missed your goals and you're reflecting on balancing, like, hey, it'll be okay, let's get it tomorrow, instead of being like, this, I'm worth.
Maybe it also maybe teach you to set like more attainable goals.
Yeah.
So that way you aren't having the self-deprecating moments at the beginning or the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's all that science that I don't remember the exact numbers, but there is that scientific like research that talks about how after you create a habit, like to create a habit, it takes X amount of days to get there. I think that's essentially what they're trying to do in an attainable way. Like, I mean, like 75 hard and P90X, all that kind of stuff, like it does work, obviously, but you have to have a lot more self governing control in that situation, whereas this one seems a little bit more attainable of like, I mean, 30 minutes of mental health might literally be just you driving in the car with the radio off and just kind of like being in a zen moment, like of quietness, like minus the driving. You know, these are all things that I feel like you could easily do. And I kind of do some of this a little bit already, but I think I might actually kind of see, you know, I might do this month and then report back and just kind of see how I feel about it. Cause it's definitely something that, you know, I think we don't teach ourselves, like in this going society with technology and cell phones, or like, especially with teens, like we're just kind of teaching to power through and plow through. And, you know, and if you don't hit your goals, like, you know, we don't really talk about hitting attainable goals and stuff like that. So it's definitely interesting for sure.
But right now, like talking about changes before graduation that you might experience with your teens, and like, I don't think it's anything new. We have, you know, a whole term coined for it of senioritis, of just kind of the effect of like, okay, I'm almost done with this stage of life. And I feel like whether you're even going away to college or staying home, trade school, whatever, I feel like it's still you're coming to an end of something. The finish line is there in sight. And so it's kind of like, you know, experiencing some changes, you know, acting differently. And I say it's nothing new because I definitely did this, I feel like, would push boundaries probably. And I feel like our parents did a good job of giving us maybe even a little more freedom our senior year, because, you know, I was going off to a different city without them. And so kind of practicing getting used to some freedom and responsibility on my own. But did you guys act any differently your senior year?
I think so. I know that my like you said, my mom was pretty good about when I turned 18, like we had a lot of hard conversations about, you know, hey, I mean, obviously, I'm older, so like you could smoke cigarettes, you could do things that you couldn't do when you're 18 or when you were 17. And in like hard conversations about like, hey, like you're an adult now, and like these, you know, there are consequences to being stupid and doing dumb things. I think that for me, I really loved high school, and so I think I kind of went through almost like a mood of depression a little bit, mm-hmm. of knowing that that was coming to an end. Like I dwelled a lot on the last of my senior year, yeah. like when I had like my last football game, marching game, my last competition, my last concert, my last paper I wrote article I wrote for the paper. Like I had a lot of last, and I think I dwelled on those. So I think I kind of like was a little bit more down maybe, but I was also like having a good time. Like I was happy and I was excited about the next step, but like it was weird. Like I vividly remember like having moments of sadness when I found out like, oh, this friend of mine I've had for forever is going to go to this college, and I'm like 8 hours away, and this one's going to this college, and kind of just visualizing yeah. the spread that we were all about to make. And so I think I definitely would. So I think I acted differently in the sense of like, I think I appreciated things a lot more and kind of, but almost was like kind of like in a little downer mode sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I think that's what's so interesting. I feel like I was a little similar, Tobin, towards the end. If I acted out, it was almost because I was mm-hmm. like, I am sad about yeah. changing or uneasy. Just mm-hmm. when you're heading into something that you don't know what it's going to look like, that is really daunting. And so I don't even think necessarily like trying to be bad on purpose or like acting out.
She was more mean to me.
Oh my goodness. But I do think like there was some distancing almost that happened between family or even friends knowing like, mm-hmm. hey, this is about to change. Yeah. And I'm like trying to protect myself here.
Yeah.
And I think we have to remember that when we're dealing with our seniors of at school, if they start yeah. like if you've been really close to a student at school and then they start acting really different to you, maybe subconsciously they're trying to protect themselves because they know they're not going to see you mm-hmm. maybe even ever again. And so that's those things are something to keep in mind. It's a weird, weird thing when you're looking at, I have lived in the same, some kids lived in the same place, gone to the same mm-hmm. school, had the same friends for years. And in a couple weeks, I don't know what that's going to look like anymore. Whether yeah. they go to school or start a job, it doesn't really matter.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, I think like, again, if you're a teacher, if you're a parent, give them a little more grace. Try to even understand where they're coming from of talking about the future. Like, it's scary. And like, mm-hmm. even to have someone like, you know, I think for me, it's like, anything like that stresses me out, I'm like, I'm going to push that off to the side. And so it's like having someone to sit down and maybe it's, you know, your role as a teacher or, you know, a mentor to sit down and be like, hey man, let's talk. Like, what are you excited about? Like, what are you nervous about? And like, how can I help calm some of these nerves having, mm-hmm. you know, been through that life stage? Cause you know, looking back on it, like, yeah, it's scary. Like it's, mm-hmm. it's nerve wracking of the unknown and everything. And so, you know, I think give them a little more grace, maybe if you're a parent, maybe try to give them a little more independence to give them some confidence heading in to that next stage. Adjust your expectations of them, you know, right? And I think that goes along with your expectations and giving them independence of if you adjust some of that, the expectations are going to be different.
Yeah, well. I think that's the thing for parents, in given I'm about to go through this in a couple of years and I'm already not handling it well. I think it's really hard to say this out loud, but also from like the outside looking in and watching some other like friends of mine and colleagues of mine go through this, you don't want them to go to college and that be the first time that they like don't have you hovering, like, or yeah. Hovering is the wrong word because like you can still be a parent and not hover, but like you kind of want them to figure things out their senior year of high school and like mm-hmm. and go through some things without you giving them the steps to it, or like yeah. hey, whenever they don't know, like, I mean, for me, like, obviously this is before car plays and GPS and stuff, like my mom really intentionally was like, hey, if you're driving somewhere you don't know how to get there, like figure it out, I'm not gonna tell mm-hmm. you. And like there was one time I had to go, I was going to watch our hockey team play at like the Valley Ranch Star Center. I had never even been anywhere near over there, and getting over there was stressful. But I mean, I was about to drive 6 hours to Lubbock and be in a whole new city by myself. And mm-hmm. so I think same thing goes with like relationships and all these other things. Like, you don't want them to figure, like, to go through things for the first time when they're at college or at a job or living by themselves or whatever it may be. So kind of like what Kayla was saying is like giving them a chance to have independence, but with you there observing is important. Yeah.
I love that. I heard an analogy recently that I thought was really good. That was when you sit on a roller coaster and they buckle you in, what's the first thing that you do with that like buckle or strap? Yeah. Like you push on it.
Yeah.
And that sometimes that's what our kids and our teenagers do is when they have boundaries or when they find something new, the first thing they're going to do is push on it to see what's there. Mm-hmm. And so that pushback as a teacher, a parent, an adult in their life doesn't always feel fun, but because there are boundaries there, they're safe and they know that they're safe. So they feel like they can push back on it. But like you're saying, Tobin, you don't want the first time for them to push back on something there to be nothing there to stop them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like the very first time that they're out on their own and they've never had to kind of handle that to be like, oh, well, watch out, here I go. Because I did have friends in college that went wild because they had never experienced any sort of freedom. And that's not to say that like take away curfews and let your kid do whatever they want. But think about what are some things that they're going to experience in college that you can help them test the waters with in your home. I think that's really good. And next episode, we'll talk about some graduation gift ideas in this topic of graduation to give you some ideas,
Jake. I need you guys to be good friends and clip that last 5 minutes and send it to me like four times a month in 2 years, okay? Because I'm going to need that.
I'll have a Tobin file saved for Jude's senior year. Well, getting into the last topic today, it is Mental Health Awareness Month, the month of May. And we've done previous episodes on mental health. I'll go back and link those if you want to listen to like general mental health, anxiety, depression. I think we've covered a lot of different topics, but I just wanted to hit some quick things about this month, which is May 16th is actually Mental Health Action Day. So I think that's kind of the more like, hey, we're all going to do stuff on this day. From what I've read, wearing green on that day is like kind of a, I'm with you for mental health. So mark your calendar.
Okay.
But one of the things I wanted to do today, just to kind of be different, but also talk about mental health, is how many times does someone ask, hey, how are you? And the answer is just fine. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to give some thoughts for, especially for anyone listening, but especially if you're a teenager listening, or maybe you send this to your teen, things to say if you're not fine and someone asks how you are. And you're maybe wanting to kind of open that door of like, I want them to know I'm not doing okay, but I also don't want to just like dump everything. So some things to say. So if someone asks how you are, you could actually say, or you could say something like, I'm actually going through some stuff right now. I'm actually going through a lot. Actually, it's been hard. You could say not great. You could say it's been a hard week. It's been a hard month. It's been a hard year. I've done that before, especially in this phase for me of kids sometimes not sleeping. If someone will ask how I am, and I don't want to just say great when I'm like about to fall asleep. And so I might be like, yeah, it's been a hard week. And that gives an open door. Or like, actually, I'd love to get some of your advice if you have a time to talk. Mm-hmm. If it's a trusted adult asking how you are. And then if they're asking and you're not fine, but you also don't want to talk about it, because sometimes that's relevant. Like you want to let them know I'm not okay, but I also don't want you to ask me about it. You could say like, thanks for asking. I'm not great, but I really don't feel like talking about it right now. And that way, maybe even that person knows, hey, maybe I should check in with them later, but now is not the time to get into that. Especially at church. I feel like that's a question we ask at church all the time. And a lot of times you don't want to like in the middle of the lobby of church go into why my life is falling apart or why it's not doing well.
And I think that's one of the things that is hard about church. One of our longtime friends of Teen Life and somebody that's really integral part of Teen Life, David Fraze, I heard him talk about I think it was a lesson. It may have been a sermon one time about he called it the Christian F word. He was like, it's something that we, you know, we use all the time that we shouldn't, because we need to be more honest with like how we are and stuff. And like, and I have to remind myself about that sometimes too, like, you know, and using that word fine whenever it's like, like even like just saying, hey, I'm actually like having enough time, like and just walking away from that, it creates a better connection with you and that person, you know, in the future if they need to like be there for you. It's not just out of nowhere. It's not a surprise to them.
Yeah. Right. And I think it's important to note too, like you don't necessarily have to say these things if someone asks you how you are and you're like, I don't really know you super well, right? You're a friend of like my parents and you're asking me how I am. Hey, I'm doing great, right? I don't really want to get into this. But right, if there's a trusted adult and someone that you trust and want to speak into your life, like, yeah, without necessarily just being like, and like word vomiting on and be like, hey, you know, I'm not great. Use some of these things.
Now, for the adults who are listening, if you are talking to a teen who says they're fine or that they're okay, and you're sitting there, you're picking up on maybe some nonverbal hints or what they're saying, and you're going, I don't actually think they're fine. Here are a couple of ideas of ways to ask nicely without like just straight up calling them out. So you could be like, just say like, hey, are you sure? I'd love to grab lunch, a Sonic drink if you want to talk. Give them an out that maybe they don't, like I said, don't want to talk about it right then. But even right then, if you ask that and they say, no, I'm good, maybe the next day be like, hey, I'd love to take you to lunch and buy your lunch. Is there a time that works for you? And maybe if you get them on a one-on-one situation, they'll open up more. You could also say, well, it seems like something's bothering you. Is there anything I can do to help? Not offering advice straight up, but asking if they want your help. Sometimes too, it's helpful to say like, I have noticed blank has something been going on. So if you are showing them like, hey, I've been paying attention and this is different. Hey, I've been noticing that you've seemed a little down lately. Hey, I've been noticing you haven't been showing up to church as much. Hey, I've been noticing that your grades are dropping a little. Is something going on? When you give them like something that's very tangible and almost factual and then can say, you want to talk about it? And the answer might be no, and that's okay. And I do think we need to respect that. If you follow up and they say, no, I'm still fine, or I don't want to talk about it, that might be your sign to back off.
Yep.
But sometimes they might just need that second ask to open up and be like, okay, this person really does care about me. So the last thing I want to mention before we wrap up today is there are actually a lot of mental health benefits to coloring, which is great because we do that a lot in teen life groups, and there's a reason that we do that. But it really does help, and it can get your mind off of things. And so we have created, I think it's 3 sheets of coloring pages. And so I will post the link if you want to download those for Mental Health Awareness Month. They have cute little phrases on them, and it's just something that you could do maybe to give to a teenager or a loved one that might be going through a hard time as an inspirational thing. Or maybe if you are just like, hey, I love adult coloring pages, download them and find out more. But that's a wrap on this episode. We hope that you have a great Mental Health Awareness Month, but also we're looking for teens that you can pour into and connect with more this month. As always, remember that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, and we'll see you next week.